Thank you. the business class members, and we have the boldness in God to declare to them the gospel of God. But even throughout the book of Thessalonians, you continue to read time and time again as people referring to this gospel. It's not just in Thessalonians, but the beginning of Paul to Thessalonians, time and time again, regardless of the issue he's speaking on, you'll see him continue to bring up the gospel that he preaches, the gospel that transforms lives, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all of Paul's writings. One of those places where he Paul really clearly articulates what the gospel is in the First Corinthians 15, many of you are probably familiar with the passage. He really outlines exactly what the gospel is in the beginning. He writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you received, and which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." So in other words, Paul is saying basically his gospel is this simple. If Jesus Christ was crucified for all of our sins, then he was buried, and on the third day he rose. Right? So they're all written, right? He knows that we're postponing another death, we all know truly understand that's what the gospel is. But unfortunately, what I think we see happening today is we see people beginning to preach the gospel of the benefits of Jesus instead of Jesus Christ himself revealed. And again, often in our preaching, we preach the benefits of Christ rather than Jesus Christ himself revealed. An example of this, and we're all guilty, I mean, everyone here has done this at some time or another if you've ever preached before, but we preach to people's needs. So in other words, we say, if you accept Jesus Christ, Jesus will come into your life and he'll bring you peace. If you accept Jesus Christ, he'll come into your life and he'll bring you hope and happiness. Or this is probably not as familiar, accept Jesus Christ and he'll come into your life and he'll put a hole in your heart. As we said before, it's not that this is necessarily wrong. It's true. Jesus does bring us peace. He does bring us hope. He does bring us happiness. He does, in many ways, fill this void in our life. But we have to understand that we're just preaching the benefits of Christ and not preaching Christ himself, crucified, buried, and raised, but we're not really presenting the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be crystallized. We must focus on Jesus Christ buried, and raised, and crucified for our sins. How to resolve this problem, how to make things difficult, because all of those things are a part of the gospel. So please, filling the whole void in your life, it is a part of the gospel, but not the whole gospel. So how do we present the whole gospel? Well, if you've ever been to a student or a professor to grad school, which hopefully you're most of us are either students or professors, you realize that they really frustrated about education. You pay all this money in the first school for 4 years or 5 years, like some of us. And when we get to the end, we look back at our freshman year, and we're honest, it's really hard to remember the things we talked about. I mean, to be honest, I don't even know what to do about it every class I took my freshman year 4 years ago. Like, it's hard for us sometimes to remember the things we've learned. It is a part of education. We're going to forget some things. In fact, some researchers have said that if we remember 5% of what we hear, we're doing good. In other words, in 5% interactions, you pull up a clip and ask them, yes, today, most of you are probably going to forget 95% of what I said. And I know professors probably realize this. It's hard. We don't remember everything that we learned in the classroom. But we can remember up to 5%. So how do we choose how to use which 5% we remember, which 5% we forget? The latter question is, does the 5% our professors or our teachers are most passionate about? So in other words, if you were to take a blank class, another blank class, one that allowed many of you to have a lot of money to visualize exploring, you don't remember enough about the geologic. Everybody remembers about the physics classes. Or if you take a four-year class, I remember what's your global message in the first year, the mission of God, the mission of God. That was it. We all remember that. The 5% we remember. And I think one of the professors who does this so well is Professor Dave Patrick. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do this. Thank you. characteristics of the firm, what it is, and for our lives. So my goal this morning is really to help us make it possible as we become the center of our lives and our ministry and everything we do. Which is why I'm reading an article that was written by a pastor by the name of Joe Cox, who was pastor of a church over 3,000 of them in the Midwest. And in the article, he writes about his own personal experience in rediscovering the gospel. That's the title of the article. How a mega church is rediscovering the gospel of Jesus. Now, he even tells his story of pastor of one of America's top 100 fastest-growing churches, how he came to rediscover the gospel from our Midwest and this year will close. He writes, "I suddenly realized that I was undervaluing the gospel by putting it as the only starting point of the Christian life. Instead, it is all encompassing sorts of truth and grace that empowers all of Christian life. That I have existed as a pastor with God in my closet. There are times when God has sustained me. Giving me up as well as more death history than I would like to admit. The life has still not empty, but the death of these gods has made me ravenous. Without the gospel as my source of security and significance, I would die. So as one who has vacillated between self-sufficiency and depression, gospel-driven transformation is both liberating and terrifying. Rediscovering the gospel is an ongoing process. Our church is a good ship to turn, but we never attempt to turn it if the approval of others is as vital to me now as it was a year ago. If I haven't been changed by life, by good news. And in the midst of this good, there is no better place to be. Even if I'm rejected by some, and even if the king is false, I'm a sinner pastor. I stand in dependence on grace to plant and water gospel seed, recognizing that God himself gives the growth. Okay, I want to ever preach an ever clearer message that is faithful to Scripture and will to me if I do not preach the gospel. You guys can stand with me. I've got the band come back up. I just have two quick questions this morning. I want to ask you, number one, for some of us like this pastor, we're honoring God in our lives. We're turning to God. We're turning to famous words, sources, security, and significance, and sharing better than Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm calling for a time to repent. Thank you.
Thank you.